Verse 2 now, while they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear, while they recognize that you now have changed and you want to live a pure life for God and live for Him, you don't want to indulge in the things of the world. And therefore, that's the testimony that you can give. I had another lady that came to me when I was pastor, and she says, Dr. McGee, I bring my husband here every Sunday. And she was the kind of woman that could bring her husband. She was a dominant personality. She says, you know, he's not saved, and I think every Sunday he'll put up his hand. When he doesn't, last Monday morning, I sit at the breakfast table just weeping, telling him, oh, how I wish he'd accept Christ. And then when he comes home from work at dinner that night, she says, you know, I just sit there and weep and beg him to accept Christ. And I got to thinking about that afterward. How would you like to have dinner with a weeping woman every evening and breakfast every morning with one? I wouldn't care for it myself, even as a Christian. And I'm sure you wouldn't want that. So I called her up and I said, look, for a period of now a year's moratorium, why not just not talk to him about the Lord at all? Oh, she says, you mean I'm not to witness? I said, I didn't say that. I said that Peter says that when you can't win them with the word, then start preaching a wordless sermon. How about your lie? What kind of life are you living before him? Well, I want to tell you that put her back on her heels, but she wasn't living that kind of life. But she agreed. She did want to win him. She was a wonderful woman in many ways. And in 6 months' time, one Sunday morning, when I asked for hands to be raised, I was amazed myself. He put up his hand. The wordless sermon had won, my friend. And I believe that that's exactly what Simon Peter's talking about here. Now he says something else. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of braiding the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, this is something I think that's very important, and you ought not to miss it at all. It is this, that in the Roman Empire, great emphasis was put upon the way women arranged their hair. If you've seen any pictures that come from that period, you know that the women loaded their heads down with all kinds of hair. It wouldn't be their own, be somebody else's, but they'd have it really built up, and they'd wear jewelry in it. And we have today very much that same type of thing. Now, the thing that he's saying here, and hear me carefully, if you cannot win the man you're going to marry who's unsaved, before you marry, by sex appeal, you will never win him by sex appeal afterward. Now, you can put on a gallon of joy perfume, and you can wear the thinnest negligee that there is. And I'll tell you, young lady, you won't win him for the Lord. That's exactly what Simon Peter is saying. But a Christian woman is to dress, I think, in style. I used to tell the kids at the Bible Institute, the girls down there, somebody had given the notion that you're never to use any makeup and you go around looking sloppy. And I told them that we all ought to look the best we can with what we've got to work with, though some of us don't have much to work with. But we ought to look the best we can. And I said some of you would look a little bit better if you'd put on just a little makeup, because you look like you came out of the morgue, and that's not attractive. And I don't care whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, my friend. But let's understand one thing. You can't win an unsaved man by sex appeal.